All right.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Sitting down. That was just too much standing. You know, I haven't stood preaching for
his legs have atrophied. You should see him. They're spindly. Hey, thanks for sticking around. We're jumping right into Q&A.
Yeah, I should have said something at the end about...
Should have, but some people, look, they know. We've already trained them. They're sticking around.
I'm just so excited that we're back in the church that everything's a blur.
Yeah.
Was I a little too adrenaline charged when speaking?
There's no such thing. I don't know. Amped up.
After I sat down, I'll have to watch back because it's like, did I ever calm down and just talk like I do? It's hard to preach. It is really hard to preach to an empty church. When I'm in the house, when I'm in my house, it feels like, oh, we're visiting. When we're here and you're here, I'm just talking to you. When it's a big empty hall and there's just a camera, I don't know. I just want to yell at it.
Clearly you're past the back there somewhere. Yeah. No, it's a unique situation, but it's
a one Sunday only.
It's halfway home, like I said. And this is really cool that we're back here because you guys are gonna be here just next week, and that's so exciting. Looking forward to it. It's been a long journey to get us back here. Mm-hmm. I should say also special thanks right off the top to Colin, Michael, Ken, the whole team. Jer, a ton of people who've been helping throughout this, especially last crazy week.
Talk about new equipment.
Oh my goodness. This has been an absolute madhouse. And so it is no small miracle that everything's coming together. And so we're pumped. We're getting there. Great message. Love the message.
Thank you.
I think it's one of those incredibly important, delicate understandings of the Bible is this father. The fear,
that balance is
that's tough.
I feel like right out of the gate with the Lord's Prayer, Jesus just nails it.
Yeah.
Our Father, you know, on that sovereign, holy, glorious throne in heaven. Daddy, Abba, you know, who holds heaven and earth in his hands and life and death. And
I suppose actually right here too, if I have not said it so far, you should text in your questions. If you had any questions about the sermon today, it's 360-447-8474. And I think we got that still worked out. We have enough tech stuff done that we can put the put it still up on the screen.
And also I should say, so today we started a new little mini series called the LPG, Lord's Prayer Guide.
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks, we really dug into the warnings and instructions that come with it. And I really enjoyed the last 3 weeks because I've never realized what an integral part those are. You can't separate those. They are part of his instructions. But now, starting today, we're just going to go through it in chunks and pray, pause, and personalize and just look at what that means. And so...
Right.
So it'll be a new little mini-series, the LPG.
Mini-series? Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
A break for a Christmas message, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, all right, we got some questions coming in.
Okay.
Firstly, did Jesus say, quote, Abba, Father, mixing both familiar and reverent aspects, or was it just Abba?
No. So there's three references to Abba in the New Testament. Only one of them is Jesus speaking it, and it's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, Abba, Father, which right there captures that balance of relational and reverence. And it's kind of what I try to translate that into our vernacular in my prayers at the end when I say Father God. Because for us, Father, you know, again, thanks to old Jimmy King, Father's about as personal as relational as we go with God. And we feel like when we say Father, we really are. You know, if I say Daddy God, everyone goes, what?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said, you know, that is weird. We're not used to that. But we're encouraged to do it. And so when I say Father God, I am absolutely trying to strike that balance that Jesus strikes when he says Abba, Father.
Right.
The other two times, you should go look them up because, boy, there's a surprise waiting in there. One talks about how God has given us the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The other one says basically the same thing, except it says, what's the spirit of adoption? Who's that? Because the other one says it just slightly differently. He gave us the spirit of his son by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So the spirit of his son, the spirit of Jesus, is also called the spirit of adoption. Jesus, that's one of his titles. He's the spirit of adoption. That's a bonus.
Somebody else just texted.
A good catch. Whoever said that,
yeah.
Great catch.
Another great C.S. Lewis quote that captures this balance. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And then they ask, as our pastor, which side of the imbalance concerns you more?
Okay, first I want to say, boy, we're on the same wavelength because I had that quote in the message.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's like, oh, I can't have two quotes. I got to take it down to just
that's
the one.
That's funny.
But I'm right on. Which one do I tend to lean toward? The more casual.
The one that you... That
too casual.
Which one that concerns you more?
Oh, wait, what? What's
which
the question?
Which one concerns, as our pastor, which one concerns you more? I think which heart are you more worried by in a congregant?
Huh?
If somebody were to come to you, if somebody had a too reverential or too casual, which one is more dangerous to see God that way?
They're both. They're equal.
You think they're equal?
I just see, here's our Heavenly Father, and if you're 5% that way or 5% that way, you're 5% from the mark.
Right.
They both do, you know, I tried to make it clear. They both have their bad things they do. I think they're equally bad. It's like, it's the old thing about if the devil can't keep you from getting on the horse, he'll give you a hand up and throw you clear over. So he just wants you to not see him as he is. And the further you get away in either direction.
Do you think that one is more prevalent? Do we see
oh,
one
yeah.
type more?
I said it in the message that we in our culture right now tend to over-focus on the softer side of dad.
Yeah.
We want this. Did you like my doofy lion?
Sure didn't. That thing was terrifying.
We want this soft lion. We want this Santa God that just grants wishes and doesn't, you know, we forget why we're here. This
right.
is loving discipline. He's creating eternal children, perfecting us in love and truth. And that's his business because we're not going to perfect ourselves. And so I don't think there's any question. Now, if you went back a few decades,
mm-hmm.
then I think it would be totally the pendulum swings. I think it that's why we only say father. That's as warm as we get is father because, boy, you come out of the Victorian era
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's all erring on the side of God's fierceness, fire and brimstone. Now, if they're asking about me personally, which way do I tend to over-focus or over-lean? That's what I was answering to begin
yeah.
with is I was raised in this culture, in this generation of mine, and so it's the softer side of God. I have to remind myself. And it's interesting because Pastor John and I have had this discussion, just the way we were brought up, the church we were raised in,
right.
you know, that I tend to balance, to bring myself into balance. I need to remember that he really, really comes against sin.
Yeah.
he doesn't put up with it.
By nature,
and
right, yeah.
Pastor John, just the opposite. He has to bring himself into that balance, has to remind himself that he does have that softer, gracious side. But that is the balance we're always striking. Today, the sermon was about that balance. Normally, it's not. And so it's so funny because in any given sermon, it will be lopsided because we'll be focusing on God's grace or we'll be focusing on his perfect judgment. And inevitably, in one of those Sundays where one of those sides has a dominance, you know, several people will come to the back and say, don't you think, though, that that needs to be balanced
right.
out with? And I say, you're right on.
Yeah,
it absolutely
yeah.
does.
Somebody asked the spirit of adoption is also the Holy Spirit question mark or just the Spirit of Jesus?
You go figure that out and come tell me because there is a Holy Spirit that is mentioned. There is a Spirit of the Father that is mentioned. There is a Spirit of the Son that is mentioned. Sometimes it's referred to as a she and sometimes as a he. There's the helper. There's the comforter. You know, I got to send the helper. When he comes, it was like, so, yeah, you go. You go figure out. Here's
and
what I know.
Report back.
And this is what we will actually be talking about next Sunday a little bit. I don't really like to get into the mechanics of the Trinity. What I like to do is just see what the Bible says about He's our one God and focus on that and know that if you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Spirit, they are one, so one in essence. And so how that works,
right.
I'm not going to try to break down, but I'll tell you, you think you might be a little bothered by that. You wait till next Sunday. If I bring out the scriptures that I'm looking at, here's a hint. That Isaiah scripture, confession, I still didn't read all of it. Because what he says next, poof. Because hallowed be thy name, he tells what his name is. Tells what the Father's name is. You are our Father.
In Isaiah we're talking about?
Yeah, that same scripture where he says, Abraham ain't our Father, you're
right,
our Father.
Right.
And your name is...
Some guesses. Yeah. Okay, great, good. Glad to hear that. Little left turn here.
Okay.
People are asking, we have a few about Christmas Eve service, saying, are we having a Christmas Eve service? We got anything going on for it?
No. Not at this point.
At this juncture. Well, again, we're responding in time to everything as we know it. And I should say, I think we have, you're increasing these council meetings to make sure that we're just making decisions.
Oh, we're having a council meeting every week.
Yeah, to respond.
Because we have to look, we'll have a council meeting, the Tuesday after, we're having a council meeting this Tuesday, then we're having a council meeting the Tuesday after we meet on Sunday morning just to talk about what happened and what went on. Because we're walking a fine line. We want to obey the laws of the land and we want to do what's right. But at the same time, we want to apply common sense.
Right.
And we're not in the policing business. I don't want to be grabbing people and throwing them out the door.
Right.
Because of some silly something. So.
Yeah, we're just relying on, we know.
You're going to be here next Sunday and we're all going to see how it
that's
goes.
That's right. And our church family's always been great and responsive and helpful and cooperative. And so, we'll get it done. Here's a good question. How does 1 John 4:8 fit here? There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Right.
Shouldn't the goal be to remove fear?
Yes.
Answered. Asked and answered.
But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want is, because a lot of people go, man, I became a Christian because I just didn't want to go to hell. And I guess that's not right at all. No, but it's appropriate. Because, that God made things this way, that to get your attention, just like a kid. It's like you want, back in the old days when they would swat a kid. Do you want to swat? Now it might be. Do you want me to, count to three before you stand in the corner? I don't know. I don't know how you do it today.
So in touch. You'll have to eat more sen-sen or whatever other old-timey.
Grandpa's. But like with kids, you get their attention. If your kid's going to play out in the road, it's like, oh, we can't mess around with that. We can't be soft with that. There has, we have to threaten the kid. You go out in that road again because you're trying to save their life. In the same way God set things up where it's okay to begin with the wrong kind of fear. That's the beginning.
Right.
That's the beginning of your relationship. But then you try to work it to where that fear becomes a reverence and an overwhelming feeling of the power, of understanding the power. And that's what I was trying to say with this old blanket with Pops, is that I wasn't afraid like he was gonna hurt me or something like that.
Right.
It was just a fun fear, like a roller coaster, Kinectly would say.
But you also know that capacity was there. I mean, even Dad could.
Right. When he's in there going, so grabbing, it's like, it is a very real power, and I don't control it, and I don't know what it's going to do next.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I'd get this blanket out and say, let's play Monster. And he'd be like, oh, are you sure? Because sometimes you end up crying. It's like, yeah, I'm okay. And so we would do it, and there were rules involved. As long as I was on a chair or on a couch, then he couldn't grab me, but he could grab at me.
Right.
But then I would get off the couch to run to the chair and stuff, and that's when he could run toward me. Well, I did that because I wanted him to, because I wanted to feel that force. But I love this analogy because it's so perfect. But I was terrified. But I didn't fear punishment. I didn't fear hurt. It was just, he was so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And it's that,
still is. He still puts fear into me.
Oh, pops goodness. He works out. He's a boxer, man. So anyway, yes, you're absolutely right. Again, wonderful catch. That perfect love drives out fear. So you begin with the non-perfect love.
Yeah.
And then you grow into that perfect love where it's Father God. It's Abba Father. It's, oh, I get it. You're my daddy and you're in heaven.
Right. And you never lose the, you know, that reverence part of it, the knowing of the power that is behind it and everything, but it just doesn't manifest as, you know, fear for one's self. Somebody wanted to update you to help you become more current and let you know that the biggest threat to a kid today is just to turn off the Wi-Fi. So that's the punishment of today. That's
That puts the fear of God in
them. That's what does it. So also random question. Somebody wants to know if the restrooms are finished. Because it'll be an awkward service if they're not, I'll tell you.
We're going to bring in some porta potties and put them in the back.
Yeah.
The restrooms are completely functional. They are...
You don't need doors on your stalls, right?
There's doors on the stalls. They're not completely finished, but it's all superficial things. And there was some parts, some different... Like a closet door for the ladies' room didn't come in when it was supposed to. It's supposed to come in this week. So I'm hoping we have the last everything... I'm planning on it. Planning on having the last everything done. Boy, it's been fun seeing all the finishing touches go in that you guys haven't seen.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
Yeah.
But they look great. They look great. Oh, I can't wait to show everyone. Okay. This was wonderful. My dad taught us kids this prayer when we were little, but he, a deacon in a Baptist church, told us, when you're bigger, you'll know how to pray and chat with God your way. So that's not a... I think that's...
Yeah.
That's right. Making the same
point. Yeah, and I tried to make the point this morning because a lot of people have gotten a little upset with me. Are you saying it's a sin or it's wrong to say the Lord's Prayer together in church? No, absolutely not. To make it work, we have to memorize it. And in a church setting, we have to assume there's always going to be somebody that hasn't.
Yeah.
And so it's really good. I'm not into doing it every week. But
right. That's why we...
Because it's one of many things. And... As Pastor John and I were discussing, and he pointed this out, and he's right on, it is not the end all of Jesus' instructions on prayer.
Right.
Jesus gives other instructions regarding prayer, and as do the epistles. And so this is just a wonderful
template
on which to hang the basics.
Right. And it's so general that this sermon, you can fit anything in there. And it's like the ultimate index prayer because there's nothing that I could think of where I couldn't say, that's where I would have put it in there.
And it's so simple. It's so crazy simple.
But there's
almost every word is...
Yeah. There's some specificity, though, that would be nice because, we can slip. We were talking like intercessory prayer and stuff where you don't necessarily... It doesn't make you pause and think about that specifically.
Right, it isn't intuitive that way. So I think that person, that person's father did a great job.
Yes. As long as we understand the pray your way, because I think this is one of the pitfalls, is when they say, you'll pray your way, doesn't mean replace it. Like, don't do that, make up your own. It means hold on to it as that template.
I wish the church at large throughout the world was teaching the Lord's Prayer as an index. I think it would change the world because everyone struggles with prayer.
Yeah.
You just forget things. I'm horrible at remembering what to pray. I don't know why that is because in other ways, I have great memories. My wife, she's incredible. Cheryl in the office, she's incredible. They pray.
The list. What happened?
They can just... What?
I didn't make the list of great memories.
Well, I'm talking about in prayer. You start praying and And everything that, like, Shar will add to a prayer, she'll, oh, and this, and I'll think, oh, I knew that. Yeah. I could have prayed. And then she'll say the next one, oh, I could have prayed that. And then it's my turn. It's like,
yeah.
Can you slip me one? I should have wrote something down because and I know there's a lot of you that relate to this.
Yeah.
Or I'll pray for someone in the church, you know, and I'll tell Shar. Yeah, and they came up and they said this, and I had a chance to pray with them. It was really a neat moment. And she'll say, did you pray for that? And did you pray for this for him? Did you pray for this? And I'll go, I guess I didn't pray for anything.
I guess it wasn't much of a moment.
So for a person like me, and I think there's a lot of people in this group, it just is a wonderful thought generator.
Index. I love this idea of the index. Somebody had asked also just a little while ago, if index prayers existed already, like you mentioned, then what was so novel or special about this? I mean, were they going around? Was this a common thing? Were they just like, oh, thanks, Jesus, for another index prayer? Or what was so unique about it?
You know, in a sense, he's just giving another index prayer. But then again, he's God. And he gives them, and that's what I tried to show in these first three, is that this wasn't just an index. He took that Amida, that 10-minute prayer. And by the way, another guy did that too. We have his version. I think he did it after Jesus, though, so he's the one copying. Oh. But nonetheless, he took that Amida and cut it down to its absolute bare bones. And the index that Jesus gives, there's a reason the Lord's Prayer has been like the number one prayer in the churches for 2,000 years.
Right.
Because he just perfectly absolutely nailed it. It is like every word, and it's easily memorized. And other index prayers are just more clumsy. You know, people wrote them.
Yeah, right.
And here you have one written by God himself, and he's like, you want to know what I want to hear?
Yeah, exactly. there just happens to be this flow and poetry to it, too, that just makes it so easy. As an American, it is easy to view the LPG, I like that it's already catching on.
Yeah, there we go.
To view the LPG as an individual, as in my father, and miss that it says our father.
Right, right.
Is Jesus reminding us of our relationship to one another? If so, what's the significance?
That's it. You nailed it. Absolutely. It is very interesting that he does not say, hey, when you pray, say, my father.
Your father? Or you mean say my father? Classic disciples.
And I pointed out a couple of the benefits today. If you had a bad dad, when you say our father, it instantly reminds you that, oh, this isn't like your dad. Mm-hmm. This is the father of everyone. This is like an amalgam of all the best essences of fatherhood, which I said in the message still pales. He's the definition, but our father. And the other thing is, it reminds you that you're not alone and you're not doing this on your own. And even though you're praying it privately, you're reminded right there that you're part of a family. You're part of a group.
That includes Jesus, because this is Jesus saying our father. I wonder if that struck them going, our father, like we're, because, you know, later on, we'll of course go like you and I will be one in the way that I am one with the Father and all that. But I mean, you have to imagine at this point when you're walking around following Jesus and being like, oh, this guy. And he goes, yeah, and us, you know, our father, like throws you into his group. That was, I would imagine, a big moment in the disciples to say, we get to be brothers? Like,
and there's a lot of the us's in here, like give us this day our daily bread. It's like, don't just be praying for what you want and need.
Right.
Who you including with this for today's needs. Mm-hmm. Forgive us our trespasses. Who's this us? Oh, as I forgive those who trespass against me.
Right.
And it's like, it's just very interesting how non-individualistic he makes this very individualistic prayer. It works on all levels. Certainly not wrong to personalize it and say, my father.
Here's a wonderful, reminds you that you're not an only child.
Yeah.
You're not alone. That's 100%, right?
Yep.
Let's see here. We got a couple more. There's just a lot of, again, I love just how kind people are. People love to just throw things and say, like, I got no question, but loved it. It was wonderful.
Well,
so
thank you.
You guys are sweet. Okay. If I had a bad dad, how am I supposed to relate the character?
Or it's hard.
To the character, yeah.
That's difficult. You have a unique challenge. I mean, unique to people that had horrible dads or non-existent dads. You know, I put up that list of uns. We have to figure out how to undo what's been done in our heart by, you know, us earthly fathers. Mm-hmm. I love that line. You know, people have a hard time connecting with our heavenly father. You know why? Earthly fathers, you know, we're horrible.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is simply realizing you had a bad dad or a non-existent dad. And I guess the simplest approach is to see God in contrast. You know, because Jesus did contrasting parables, one that fouls people up because they don't get that sometimes Jesus shows a bad example and says, hey, so think of how your father must be.
And
we
right.
go, what, like that? No. The opposite of it. So like the judge, the unjust judge, and the woman wouldn't leave him alone. He says, no, I'm not going to help you. And finally he said, well, she's just going to wear me down. I might as well help. He says, so think how your father is, you know. And we go, like an unjust judge?
Yeah.
No. Like the total polar opposite of that. Oh, so sometimes it can be a benefit if you go, okay, so God is our father is the opposite of my earthly father in that sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like that point a lot. Because also we can become too complacent. Like if you had a great, I've had this discussion in the past because I grew up great family, great parents and everything. And I took it for granted, I think. Like I didn't even.
If you're raised with it, you don't know.
I was
know.
Like, that's how people are supposed to be. You know, that's how they are. Until I go to like a friend's house and you go, oh my, is this what other parents are like? And I didn't realize it, which then lets you see those characteristics that I never recognized as character. I just thought that's how you had to be. That's what dads and moms are like.
Grown up for, yeah.
But if you don't know, they might even be more pronounced. You might have a leg up, actually. Like when you can see those things and go, he does what? That's what a dad's supposed to be like, because I've never experienced it.
Okay. What time is it?
Time for you to get a watch.
The clock's we need a new battery. It's,
we're
almost five.
Yeah, I see it's quarter to five already.
Yeah. So actually we'll probably it's 11:20. We'll do a last call something. We got a few more minutes.
We got some time.
Well we had a service was a little bit shorter because we're moving right along a little smoother. We already had this one. Sometimes it is helpful to also pray to God as my father-in-law. It changes things. What do you think?
I've actually preached this before, that when you're praying for your spouse,
mm-hmm.
you should address him as father-in-law. Because, wow, does it change your attitude toward your spouse when you realize that, okay, you're my dad,
right.
but you are their dad. So that means, in that sense, you're my father-in-law, and you're really looking out for her, in my case. And so, yeah, I think that's great.
And because that's sort of that unique bond that you have as a co-carer for this person. Like, this is more of a cooperative prayer, too, mm-hmm. specifically.
Well, what I think because there's just different ways God wants to be seen. And we've kind of latched on to like a couple big obvious ones. We go, oh, okay, well, we got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He goes, do you know how many different titles I put in that book?
Yeah.
And so next week, we're going to kind of shatter some of those. I think the title might be Father Jesus.
Boa. Ooh.
Or it could be Brother God.
Ooh.
Okay. Probably not next week, though.
All right. Ooh, good. Some questions.
You know, God says he's not ashamed to call them brother. It's like, it's in Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews.
Okay. Well, so actually, I will say this is a good time for last call if you want to get some in, because I think we've hit most of the ones that are the same.
And, services are filling up rapidly. This second might be...
It's awfully full, close to it. Actually, Mystery texted in and said 11 seats left at second.
Yeah, and we talked about overbooking because I think The church up in Bellingham we were looking at, I think they overbooked by 25% because a lot of people just, you know, things come up and you
right.
can't. So we might need to allow for some other...
Yeah, but well, hey, we're playing it by ear.
Yeah,
hey,
we'll talk on Tuesday.
We're playing it by ear. We'll yeah, it'll be great. So, but yeah, do get in. Schedule yourselves in so that we can anticipate what's going on, so that we can get every... Because we still got a lot of pieces to put together in this next week, too.
Yeah.
But boy, there is a great light at the end of that tunnel because it's you guys in those seats, which is wonderful. One of the things that helped me immensely is when I saw my wife as God's daughter. Yeah, I think that's a great way to put God at the center of your relationship, is to just have that relationship. Okay. Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Anything you want to say? Any addendums? Any? Because again, we know how you are, Bruce. We know how you can say one thing on 20 minutes ago and be like, but I just had a thought and I completely changed my opinion on it now. So, anything, which is great. That's how we're supposed to be. Anything you want to add, change, tease?
I already did it.
We got everything worked
out. I will say that, did you notice, though, the Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, how just about every line was... oddly pertaining to our situation, the gathering together and our troubles being far away, and you have yourself a merry little Christmas, and if the Lord allows.
That's funny.
We're all gonna gather. If you missed it, you should know that that was really cool.
That is funny. Okay, well then, I think we'll wrap it up unless there's anything else
you
wanna...
Let me take a quick look here. Oh, we gotta get the colors fixed on that.
Oh yeah, we're working on a whole bunch of... Right now, what you can't see also is that we still got... if you could swing a camera around and see how much, like...
mess?
Yeah, because there's so much engineering that's going on, again, with like Colin and Michael and Ken and I and whoever comes through to help. There is so much...
Yeah, because you have to stream differently than what we do in-house.
Right.
And then they've given me some close-up TV screens so people who sit further back can see expressions. And so there's camera gears and hanging gimbals and remote-controlled things. And
oh, you know what? Here, wait. Let's end on one big...
Oh, okay.
...different question because it got buried in here. And here's what it says. His place has always been a church that speaks on current culture and events. Is it intentional that the church hasn't addressed this during this time? For example, pandemic, new Washington State sex ed law, losing our right to congregate, a culture that continues to move more and more contrary to God's word, etc.
We've talked a lot about those things in the Q&A. I've not done a message on those. I typically don't do messages on
direct response, but I would like to say, because I'd qualify that a little bit. We talked about it a little, maybe a couple weeks, couple months ago, which is, though, a lot of the subject matter that you're preaching on has a sort of broad application to
it's
specific
because of,
matters.
It's,
yeah, yeah. It is a response to those things that are going on. So when we see division, socially, politically, or whatever, then we go look up, you know, like, how do we respond to division? And let's attack the root of the problem. I like that because I appreciate, you know, the root rather than the symptom, you know, treat the disease. And and so whenever you see something manifesting in the media or something, and it just seems like it's a symptom of a heart condition, I really like going back to the basics and seeing how we treat that heart. And I think that's what you've done well, at least in my estimation.
Yes, I've always got my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the country as I'm writing sermons.
It's, right.
But I'm really, as a pastor, I'm trying to bring us back to the Word of God, to what we need to be solidly built upon, so that as we're out in the world during the week, we're making a change and differences and good decisions. At the same time, in the Q&A, we've addressed specifically, I'm not afraid to talk about any of those things.
Right.
And make the, there are some things that are so there's no question that the response is so biblically agreed upon and grounded that
right.
to not take a stand as a church is a little weird.
Sure.
But I don't typically do a message that's... We've done responses from the front before.
Right.
When there's been something that egregious and we go, hey, so, you know, do call your congressman.
Yeah, right.
You know, the whole sex ed thing, it's just nauseating.
Right, right. And so, yeah, and again, it's case by case. And
that's why we're going to continue the Q&A, because the Q&A gives us a chance to just talk about and be specific and
yes.
go back. And when you guys are here, all the more so, because I get, you know, 25 minutes a Sunday
mm-hmm.
to share the Word of God and help us and ground us in the Word of God. And I am very protective of that and very respectful of that position. I don't want to bring, you know, politics into
yeah.
it. I want to keep it absolutely pure as to what the Lord would have us as His family, His body, His church
right.
growing in His Word and in relationship with Him. And that's, for me, that's sacrosanct with that 25 minutes once a week
yeah.
in that. And that's why I love the Q&A.
Yes.
We can just jab about anything.
That's for as long as we want. And personally, like, I'm... those applications, not diminishing them, I think they're incredibly important, but that is an awfully narrow application for the Word of God. You know, I mean,
right.
important because everything day by day we need to find that.
But the enemy has found that those work wonderfully as distractions, and they keep us busy and just keep us distracted constantly. We get so many requests with valid issues, but we need to put up a table in the church for this, and we need to put up protests out front for this. We need to sign people up for this, and we need to rally people for that. And it's like, you get those things several a month. And
right.
we could just be doing something like that.
And it can create a culture that is sort of adversarial, that is seen as always railing against. And I mean, and again, not ever afraid to take that stand.
Right.
But they know us by our love. You know, we're that gentle porch light.
Right.
We're that, you know, compelling.
We got to find that same balance.
Exactly.
Of relationship
exactly.
with our culture and a fierceness.
Right.
And so when we see something...
Mm-hmm.
That we want to respond to as a body. We have in the past, and we will in the future.
Right.
Q&A, we can talk about anything and everything here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do watch out for this church, because I don't want us to be distracted in the things that we may not remember, that may not be remembered 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
like we were one of the churches that just did not get into the Y2K bug thing.
Right.
And there was a lot of churches that just became the thing, is the Y2K. And it's like, you know what? There's enough people talking about it out there. I'm not doing that. And so.
Valisa texts in, says, teach us as Jesus taught, right? He answered current event questions with stories made for us to understand His story.
Yeah.
He was the ultimate, like, sure, I hear what you're saying, but let me give you a bigger answer, you know, an answer
right.
that blossoms into understanding everything and where that's coming from, you know, just.
I mean, they came to Him, you know, hey, should we pay taxes to the government, to a secular
right.
government? Because we're not commanded to do that.
And He didn't go, well, which district do you live in? Is this, you know, like, should we?
It's just gorgeous, His answers, you know. Hey,
yeah.
bring me a tax coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's. Well, give Caesar what's Caesar's. Give God what's God's.
And they go,
wow.
That must mean. And then, you can just debate that and ask on, and it takes you really big places. Cool. Well, good. I'm glad
yeah.
we got that in. I'm sorry I missed that, too, because they really do get buried. To some of you who ask a question, I'm never intentionally skipping those. It is just, you guys get excited sometimes. It'll go buzz, 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 and I'll just see you down there. And what will be great is when we're in person, we're going to keep doing this. And so it'll be like a congregational meeting. So we'll still do the text in when we're here, too, so that I can keep them in order. But
yeah
we'll have a great give and take. And it'll
cool.
be after second service. I don't know if we've made that entirely clear, right?
Yeah, Q&A will be after second service only. And second service is what we will be live streaming.
At 11 o'clock,
yes. 11 o'clock. So the 9 o'clock service will just be 9 o'clock service, but then, you know, camera crew and that kind of people, those kind of people can practice and see what's going to happen. And then we'll live stream at 11, have Q&A after the 11 o'clock. And that way, people who come to the 9 o'clock, they can still watch the Q&A. They, you know, plenty of time to go home and...
Yeah, perfect. And tune in, I'd love to grow it. I think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, oh, three seats left for second. I'm getting live updates here, so get in there quick. But yeah, I think this is a good spot then. We'll wrap it up here.
Okay.
Love you guys. Miss you guys. See you guys soon.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Bye.
Bye.